Well, tonight we'll be in Esther chapter 6. Esther chapter 6, and our text will be the first three verses of the chapter. And let's go ahead and read those passages. It says, "On that night could not the king sleep. And he commanded to bring the book of records of the Chronicles, and they were read before the king. And it was found written that Mordecai had told of Bigthana and Teresh, two of the king's chamberlains, the keepers of the door, who sought to lay hand on the king Ahasuerus. And the king said, What honor and dignity hath been done to Mordecai for this? Then said the king's servants that ministered unto him, There is nothing done for him." And I want to take that as both the title and the subject of our message tonight, There is nothing done for him. But before we get into the message, let's pray and ask God's blessing on it. Lord, thank you again for the Word of God. Thank you for the many things that we can learn from it. Thank you for the examples that you've given us in the Old Testament scriptures. Lord, while they weren't penned directly to us, they are certainly for us. And Lord, I pray that you would have us to learn the lessons that you'd have for us here in these three verses tonight. And as we look at the man Mordecai and what he experienced, might we be able to learn from it. Lord, we know there's nothing new under the sun. And those things that we experience today are the very same types of things that believers have experienced in the past. And when we look at how you brought them through successfully and victoriously, we know that you can bring us through our trials and struggles as well. So just bless as we look at these passages tonight and consider the thoughts that are found therein. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We've seen in our study already, and of course it's rehearsed once again in our passage tonight, that Mordecai had uncovered a plot to kill the king. And that's found back in the second chapter of the book. And because Mordecai uncovered this plot and made it known to the queen and the queen to the king was able to foil the plot and put to death those who sought his destruction. So in a general sense, we could say that Mordecai performed a good deed, a righteous deed. And he didn't perform this deed towards some poor beggar, but he performed this deed towards the king. And it's my understanding that Persia would have been the lone superpower in the world at this time. And so King Ahasuerus perhaps would have been the most powerful, the most influential, and the most wealthy man on the planet. And Mordecai, through his actions and deeds, saves the life of the king. And yet, what was done for Mordecai? When the king asked, and reading over the history books, the king's servants indicate to him there is nothing done for him. Nothing. Not even a gold coin or a memorable plaque. No recognition whatsoever. How must Mordecai have felt then? The scriptures don't state how he felt. It appears that he went about his normal duties without so much a complaint. I wonder how we would have responded were we in Mordecai's shoes. Were we had done something extraordinary for the most powerful man in the world. And yet it wasn't even printed in the newspaper. I think I'm safe to say that many of us would have been just a little bit disgruntled. Because our old nature tends to want recognition for anything that we do that is right. But tonight in the message, I want to explore the thought of how should we respond when we do a good deed and when it goes unnoticed and unrewarded. And in relationship to this topic, the first thing I want to say about it is that when we do right or we perform some good deed, we help someone or what have you, we should never expect a reward. We should never expect praise. We should never anticipate recognition. And that's what the Bible would teach. Look over at the book of Luke in chapter number 6. Luke chapter 6. Look at a number of passages here in the Gospel of Luke tonight. This is somewhat familiar, as it's also found in Matthew's account. Luke 6, notice beginning there at verse 27. It says, "But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And to him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other, and him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. As ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if ye love them which love you, what think have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what think have ye? For sinners also do even the same." It's very easy, isn't it, to help people who are going to, in return, help us. But it's very difficult for our old nature to put forth the effort to help someone when there's no expectation of ever receiving something in return. Notice he says in verse 35, "But love your enemies and do good and lend," and then notice this next phrase, "hoping for nothing again." And I want you to understand that I'm talking to us within the context of us doing something good. I'm not talking about this from the perspective of if we are in a position to show forth praise or recognition to someone who's done that which is right. Because the Bible also says to do good to them, you know, when it's in your power or in your authority to do so, to praise them, to recognize them. You know, if we understand human nature, we'll understand when we are in positions of leadership that we need to appreciate the efforts that people put forth. Because if we don't, then many times they become discouraged. I was, I think this is related to the message tonight. It just kind of popped in my mind, but I was reading an article a couple weeks ago. Matter of fact, it's on our website if you look at the articles section. It's called The Sawmill, and it's an article that I read on the finance, Yahoo's finance page. And the title of it, I think, on Yahoo's site was something like, "If you're paying your employees the same, you're being unfair to them." And it gave a little parable. And it said that there was this father who had two sons that worked at a sawmill. And the one son made considerable amount of more money than the other son. And so the father went to the owner of the sawmill and asked him, you know, why that was the case. And he said, "Well, let me demonstrate something to you." And he called the first son into his office. And he said, "There's a truck that's just arrived. They've got 20 logs on it that they want to sell. Can you go check it out and report back to me?" And so the first son, he went, he looked at the logs, he came back and he said, "Well, there's 20 logs, they're of average size, most of them are pine, and they're in fairly good condition." And he said, "Thanks," and sent the son on his way. And then he called for the second son, the man's second son, and said the same thing. There's a truck that just arrived. It's got 20 logs on it, and they want us to purchase the logs. Can you go and see what they've got and report back to me? And now this time he probably took 5 or 10 minutes longer than the first, but when he came back, he gave a much more detailed report of the logs. He said, of the 20 logs, you know, 12 of them are pine, and the details I'm getting wrong, but you can read the article. 6 of them are oak. There's 12 of them that are, you know, this length, and there's this many that are that length. And I said, we just had somebody come in wanting to buy. This is why I should have picked something different than pine, but 12 pine logs, and we could sell them to him right away and recoup all the money that they're asking for, you know, the price of all of the logs. So the rest of them would be, you know, all profit. But again, you get the idea. It was a much more detailed report. He put a lot more effort into it, and he sent the son on his way. And then he looked at the father, and he said, would you pay those two boys the same? And the father then understood why one made considerably more than the other. And if you're in a position of leadership, I think it's important that you reward hard work. That you reward the person that's putting forth, you know, extra effort. I know for myself how discouraging it can be to work in an environment where everybody just makes the same amount, when there are people who are willing to work much harder than others. So understand that my comments are not directed towards people who are in positions of leadership, but for us as individuals, when we do good, when we work hard, our attitude ought to be to expect nothing in return. It said there in verse 35, hoping for nothing again. You know, isn't it kind of amusing how when they have fundraisers and this anymore in society, that they always kind of give you a free gift. You know, if you call and donate today, we'll give you this, or we'll give you that. You can have a t-shirt. They always got to give something. And I've always kind of found that strange. You know, if they're asking to give for charity, how about just give, and the money they got to spend on these little free trinkets to give people can go towards the charitable cause. But the reason they do that is because a lot of people wouldn't give. Even though the trinket is nowhere worth the amount that you're donating, you know, when you get something in return, people are much more apt to give. That's just how human nature is. But Jesus says here, we're to love our enemies. And the reason that's so much more noble than loving our friends and families is because the likelihood of us ever being repaid is nil. Look also at Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. Verse 12, it says, then said he also to him that bade him, when thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and a recompense be made thee. I referenced this a couple of weeks ago in our messages on pride and humility. And one of the aspects of humility, I said, was exalting others and abasing self. Well, here in this parable, Jesus says when you invite people to a feast, don't invite those who, again, can recompense you, who can pay you back by inviting you to their feasts. Instead, invite the undesirable, the isolated, the alienated, the laughed at. Because those people, they probably won't be able to pay you back. And that's what's honorable, and that's what's noble. Again, do you get the idea? When we do good, the Bible instructs us to expect nothing in return. Look at Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17 and verse number 7. It says, but which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him, by and by, when he has come from the field, go and sit down to meat? If you've got a servant and he comes in, you know, performing his chores, and, you know, it's time for your supper, do you tell him, okay, go sit down and eat? No. And will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink. No, he continues to serve you until your meal is over, then he can eat and drink. Doth he thank that servant because he did those things that were commanded him? I trow not, I think not. And he says, so likewise ye, when ye have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which is our duty to do. That's not normally how we think, is it? When we've done everything right, and we've done everything that we're supposed to, we expect to be patted on the back. But Jesus said, no, just consider yourself an unprofitable servant. It's kind of hard to have that kind of attitude, isn't it? But it's apparently the kind of attitude that Mordecai had. It says that there was nothing done for him. But did he complain? Did he have a pity party? Did he say, where's my thanks? No, he just went about his normal duties. You know, in Psalm 73, some of you are undoubtedly familiar with it, David laments the fact that the ungodly seem to be prospering. They don't have a heart for God, and yet they have many children and live long lives and are prosperous, and yet here he is, someone who's cleansed his heart and tried to live a righteous life, and he's plagued by troubles. That's how we normally feel. You know, when we've tried to do right and nobody recognizes it, and there's no thanks and there's no reward, we get to thinking, what's the point? Well, you know, we ought to be doing right for more reasons than just the reward. But sometimes it is hard to do right just because it's right. I think the more we do it, the easier it becomes, though. Again, the Bible is clear. Humble service for the Lord Jesus Christ and not expecting recognition for all that you do is God's calling on our lives. We're to expect nothing. But you know, even though that's to be our attitude, and even though it appears Mordecai displayed such an attitude, Mordecai would eventually be rewarded, wouldn't he? It wasn't right away, and it wasn't immediate. But you know why that was? Because God had something better in mind for Mordecai. Better than silver, better than gold, better than the king's robe and the king's ring, better than, as what transpires, riding around town in a chariot. God had something better in mind than all those things. Mordecai was going to be rewarded by the king, creating a means by which the people of Israel could be delivered. You know, we seem to sometimes want our rewards and to want them immediately. But you know, if we will just wait, many times the reward will be much greater. There in Luke 6:35, where we turned, it did say, hoping for nothing again. But you know, it went on to say, if we do this, and your reward shall be great. And you know what the Lord was saying? You'll get no reward nor recognition in this life, but you most certainly will in the next. In Luke chapter 14 there, where he said to, you know, do for those who can't recompense thee, he said, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. God says, I've got a better reward in mind. One that comes much later, if you can only be patient. A delayed reward is oftentimes much better than one that could be given immediately. You know, God wants to give us good gifts. That's what Matthew chapter 7 says. As our Heavenly Father, He wants to give us good gifts. He wants to give us recognition for our many works. Yet many times He knows He must postpone that recognition lest we be puffed up with pride. You see, when we get to heaven, we'll not have the old nature. And the praise and the recognition that is given to the faithful servants of Christ won't cause us to stumble. But as we've seen in our last couple of messages on pride, when we're praised, it's a test, isn't it? It reveals our true character. If it puffs us up, then we were full of pride. So God waits to give us our rewards many times. You know, one of the things that I've often appreciated about the people of this church is I believe that you do serve with very little recognition. And I'm talking about recognition from anybody outside of this ministry or even recognition from people within the church. I don't know that, you know, as the pastor of Shepherdsville Baptist Church, I'm the best at recognizing people for their efforts. And again, when you're in a position of leadership and you're able to recognize people for doing that which is right, it's a good thing to do. It encourages people to keep doing the right thing. You know, we have a church that's very small, but has existed for a long time this way. When everybody, you know, around us is expecting the doors to close, but they never have. And that's because a lot of people give and give faithfully. You know, it's wonderful to watch many of our young people tithe and give faithfully and enjoy to do it. It's so enjoyable for me as the pastor to watch the young people in our church to want to go soul winning. I mean, Tom is not here to take them today, so they asked me, Pastor, are you going to take it? It's not me taking the initiative. It's them. That's a wonderful thing. And some of you have been serving in this church a long time with very little recognition. I just want to take a minute to recognize your service for the Lord and to say, I appreciate it. I appreciate everything that everybody does in this church. Those who care for the facilities, those who witness, those who clean, those who teach, those who cook. It's easy for me to not notice that part. I bet you some of you noticed, though. But notice there again in our text at the end, it says, there is nothing done for him. Not yet. There is nothing done for him. You know, this too reminds me of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe every passage of the Bible should in some way remind us of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, Mordecai did a good deed. His good deed was for the king. But Jesus Christ did a much more noble deed, a much more honorable deed. He left the glories of heaven and he came to this world to save us from our sins. But was it recognized? Was it applauded by those in leadership and by the masses across the world? No. Rather than crying out, let him reign, they said, crucify him, crucify him. And he knew that was what was to take place when he came. But he still came. And he paved the way so that we could be saved. And most of us, he's saved us, hasn't he? He's done a good deed for us. He's cleansed us from our sins. And can I ask the question, what have we done for him in return? Have we done anything? Or is there nothing done for him in light of what he's done for us? Boy, I hope that's not the case. I hope instead it can be said that we in turn have served him faithfully because of what he's done for us. So let me just kind of summarize with my notes here in closing. Mordecai, a man who did a good deed and for a while received nothing for it. Have you ever done a good deed and it gone unnoticed? Don't fret. Nothing will go unnoticed by God. Serve Christ with all humility. Expect nothing. And you will one day receive more than you ever expected. However, in another thought, perhaps you are as one of the 9 lepers. Maybe instead of performing a good deed which has gone unnoticed, you have allowed Christ to perform a good deed for you without giving him the recognition. Have you ever thanked him for dying for you? Have you ever thanked him for saving your soul? Have you ever purposely sought what you might do for him in return for what he has done for you? You see, when King Ahasuerus, when it was brought to his attention what Mordecai had done, his automatic response was to want to do something nice for him. After all, he saved his life. Boy, ought that not to be the automatic response for every person that's been born again? Lord, what can I do for you? That ought to be what we're asking our Savior tonight. Lord, in light of what you've done for me, what might I do for you? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for thy word. Thank you again for the lessons that can be learned from the book of Esther and this particular passage on the life of Mordecai. Lord, Mordecai performed a good deed, and yet for a time it went unnoticed or at least unrecognized. But Lord, we're about to read in this chapter how you gave him a much greater reward in the years ahead. And Lord, I believe if we're faithful to do that which is right, while it might go unnoticed in this life, you're marking it down today. And one day, proper recognition will be given to all those who have faithfully served thee. Lord, while we don't deserve it, while we're only unprofitable servants, we understand that you're a just and a righteous God and that you reward us for our service. And so, Lord, if we ever get the feeling like doing right is in vain and we're receiving nothing in return, help us to patiently wait. As it says in one of the texts we looked at tonight, at the resurrection of the just, we shall be rewarded. So encourage us with this message tonight and help us to keep going for the cause of Christ. And Lord, might we take some time tonight and this week to ask ourselves in regards to what Jesus has done for us, what have we done for him in return. And I pray this in His name. Amen. Stand with me.